Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So this topic fascinates me. I know two people personally in my life, not a friend of a friend on Facebook that I heard the story. I physically know in my life two people that this happened to. And I guarantee you, you do too.
Okay.
The story is from The New Yorker. You know how much I love The New Yorker.
You're a fan?
During the pandemic, Hunter, not his real name, went so stir crazy from the isolation of lockdown that he bought an online DNA test just to have something to do. Then his results came back, indicating significant Ashkenazi heritage. That was odd. Neither of his parents were Jewish, or so he thought. He called his mother, who confessed that he was the biological product of a family friend, someone Hunter has known all of his life. I met with him, they write, earlier this summer for my story to talk about people who find out from direct-to-consumer DNA tests that their families aren't what they thought. Research suggests an estimated 2 million Americans have taken tests from companies like 23andMe and Ancestry could fall into that category. 2 million Americans.
What you're saying is that their dads are not who they think they are.
The mailman.
Yeah.
There is a new term for this. They have begun calling themselves NPEs for, quote, not parent expected. And they have built a support network that includes podcasts, retreats, NPE trauma recovery coaches, a national conference called Untangling Our Roots, and a myriad of Facebook groups. Hunter told me he joined some of those groups but had to leave. It was too much, I explained. I quickly saw what he meant. These spaces are rife with NPEs' frustration toward their mothers who kept them in the dark, a sense that they were somehow cheated out of a different, perhaps better life with another family. Some NPEs look back on their childhoods and catalog every single time they felt different and wonder, was that why? Others are processing their feelings through political action. There is an NPE-founded lobbying organization called, quote, Right to Know, that has called for a national registry of sperm donors and recipients.
What?
Yeah, that was quite the leap.
Problems.
I'm just saying, I know two people this happened to.
I mean, we went yard to left field on that one.
And we caught it like a can of corn.
One of the people that I know told me this story and said, I'm not even going to say male or female.
Okay.
And said, I always worried that I might have a shorter life expectancy. Because my whole life, the person that raised me, my dad, died at a pretty early age, like let's say 55, 60. And so because of that, this person did everything healthy, like always just ate the kale, ran marathons, works out every single day, and then finds out later in life that his actual biological father lived to 102.
Well, you just said it was a man.
Yeah. They're so open they about the story, but I don't want to out anybody.
They
what?
Missed out on eating all the cheeseburgers.
Correct.
And smoking cigarettes.
Correct.
And
not that they would do anything
foods.
Different, but like one of their concerns was the health history.
Thanks a lot, Mom.
And now that's out the window. I did not know they were called NPEs, but that is what they are called.
Nobody knew they were called NPEs.
I would offer that this is probably something that has gone on since the time immemorial, because humans are humans, and only now, in this modern day era with technology and people needing something to do.
I hope she doesn't get mad at me for telling the story, but my mother's father, who she thought was her father for the first 40 years of her life.
40 years.
Turned out not to be her father. And she finally learned that she was the result of an experience like this. And we were in Fort Leavenworth when my mom found out. He happened to live in Missouri, even though my parents were from New York. He had her biological father had retired in Missouri. He had passed. Guess what he had? He had a disease.
Oh.
That I have.
Yeah, there
it is. He was an alcoholic.
One woman they interviewed said money was tight when she was growing up. Her dad drove a cab. She swept the floors at a local private school in exchange for tuition. Suddenly, there her real biological dad was, as she started Googling him, a longtime executive at a shipping company, finding pictures of what appeared to be him and his children riding horses at their private ranch. She felt like her world was shattering, but no one around her registered the news that way. She remembered being asked in a family group chat what side dish she was bringing for Easter dinner. Quote, we're a sweep it under the rug sort of family.
What would you do if you found out your dad was not your biological father?
I think it would upend you. I really do. I mean,
would it change the way that you feel about him?
No, but there's some therapy that would be involved
would
there.
Would it change the way you feel about your mother?
No, because here's my because. Back then, we did not talk about things like that,
did we?
You don't
talk about it today
either.
Well,
but back then, my goodness, Scott.
Honey, I'm pregnant and it's not yours. Well, nobody says that.
Think about our grandparents. Like, things happened back then. My God, I've interviewed so many women where if there was anything in that realm of the world, it was absolutely swept under the rug. Remember back when a 16 or 17-year-old, God forbid.
Yeah, they all of a sudden weren't in school.
Yeah, they just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 7 or 8 months later would come back and they'd been on holiday. But no one talked about this stuff. So
it upend your life? Your life is no different.
Oh, but see, what she said is she Googled her biological dad and maybe her life would have been different. She's angry.
See, if I found out tonight, I get home and St. Margaret, and I know that this is not, I know that I am the son of Mayo Parks Jr.
You look just like him.
I do. I look just like my father. And so I know that I am my father's son. But we're just playing a fantasy world here, or non-fantasy world. If I got home and my mom was waiting at the front porch and, you know, 80-year-old St. Margaret says, I have something I have to get off my chest. I have to tell you.
Okay.
Mayo Parks is not your father. It wouldn't change a dang thing in my life. I might lose a little bit of respect for my mom, but she's got so much stored up that she could stand to lose a little bit.
You do call her St. Margaret.
I do, for a reason. But it would not change one iota how I feel about my father. I would still, and I don't even know that I would go looking for my biological
father.
Well,
and here's the other side of it. This woman went and tracked the dad down, and the first conversation was very helpful, okay? Then she called a second time, and she said, quote, his tone had shifted. By then, she had reached out to a man that Ancestry had indicated was her half-sibling. Her biological father chastised her. He said something like, we don't do shock and awe in my family, like Jerry Springer. She's now hosting a podcast.
I think he's right.
That you shouldn't reach out. By the way, I have a half sibling. Let him tell that story.
You let him tell his other children, hey, there's something I need to tell you guys. You're going to start getting some calls probably here in the not too distant future. Her name is Emily. But to just call somebody's kid.
Say, by the way,
your dad had an affair and I'm the product.
You realize in like 90% of these cases, that's how it happens. People just start reaching out on Facebook. Hey, I don't know if you're aware, but this is saying we're half siblings. Like, can you give me any information? Well, there's only one reason it would be saying that, right?
But what's upending her life? The fact that she could have had more money? Does that discount love and raising you?
She said it wasn't.
Your parents were still your parents.
Right.
I mean, that's a slap in the face to every adopted child that exists.
She said it wasn't about the relationship or the sex. She said, I don't care if my mom and dad had an open marriage. She said for her, it was about the lie.
It's almost a selfish position.
That mom knew it, dad knew it, and then she finds out
how do we know the dad
30.
Knew it? Or you mean biological dad
knew it? No, that I think her man that she thought was, I don't know how to describe it, but she calls him her birth certificate dad. What does that tell you?
That he didn't know. I'm with Sam. Tell me, other than you might have the right to know, you know, what kind of health issues might I face much later in life? And by that point, I mean, unless you're going to get, you know, cancer or heart disease in your 40s or 50s, what does it really matter?
Yeah.
And how did this upend your life?
Okay, let's say, because they're putting the percentages on this of Americans, well, actually people globally who have found out their parents are not who they thought, right?
Okay.
What if you grew up in a horribly abusive or alcoholic household, Scott? And I mean bad, bad, bad. And you find out that this is what she's going through. This is what I'm saying, because I've read this, that she is going through, my life could have been this over there. It's human nature to think that. But instead, I had this life over here. It doesn't mean her mom and her dad aren't her mom and her dad, but you would be human just to wonder what would it have been like.
Your world would have been the same if your mom had not had an affair. You would have still grown up in that abusive, alcoholic home. Short of your mother saying,
right,
I just cheated on you and I'm out.
Yeah.
And he's actually going to leave his wife too and take me in. Your life is exactly the way it was going to be anyway.
Today, by the way, there are coaches who will guide
aging
parents how to break the news about their child's origin.
Maybe you... Here, let me be the coach. You ready? Don't.
They're going to find out through one of these tests anyway, is what they're saying.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Remember I said the thing earlier about the buried secrets back in the 50s and 60s, 70s? And, you know, every family has secrets. The difference is now, back then you could have a secret and you would take that secret to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
If you, even in cases where there was a sperm donor and so your, you know, biological dad is unknown, even those, when that technology came along, there are still women who took that secret to the grave.
Yeah.
The difference is today you can run down to Target or on Amazon.com, get one of these DNA tests, and the secret comes out on a computer rather than learning from your mom and dad. And so, Scott, you said, I just don't think you should tell them.
Yeah,
that's
You're right, I'm wrong.
No, I'm just saying it's not really, like, you used to be able to do that in the 50s and 60s. I don't know that you can do that today, because if one person in your family takes that test and you don't come back as a sibling,
you know,
it's out.
It's interesting when you said every family has its secrets.
Of course.
I'd never thought about it. And then, I mean, obviously there are things to protect people that I can't say on the radio. I would tell maybe you and Sam off the air, like I did just during the last break, which is a family secret. But I like to think of my family as incredibly, for the most part, normal, a little weird, but normal. And yet we have secrets.
Everybody does.
913-586-7798. Ashley in Parkville. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Sorry. My family is not normal. My family has a lot of secrets. My mother did not know who her father was. She still does not know who her father is, her bio father. I did not know that until I was 15. I did not meet my bio dad until I was almost 18. I wanted to meet my bio dad. I felt like I had a hole in my life, even though I had an absolutely wonderful stepdad who is still in my life. He's 85 years old. He's a wonderful man. I was very, very blessed in that way. But my mom has absolutely no desire to know who her bio father is. She had a wonderful stepdad. Or adopted father, anyway.
She's still living. Your mom is still living, correct?
Correct.
But she does understand because of these tests, she could just open up Facebook one day and randomly have some message that says, you're coming back as my half-sister. Do you know me?
She understands that, yeah. And she would ignore the message.
Got it.
She has absolutely no desire to know who that person is or to know anything about that person. I would like to know my genealogy, but because of her desire, I have made promises to her that I will not do any research on that until she is dead. I've done a DNA test, and there are things that I know that I probably could find out, but I will not because of out of respect for my mother.
Good.
But that's my mom's choice. I wanted to know. I felt like there was a big old hole. This is a very personal thing that everybody has to make the decision about and everybody has to deal with in their own way.
And actually, real quick, because I want to get Bill in here real quick. I can respect what your mom says. Sometimes for some people, the less you know, the better. And she, if she doesn't want to know, I certainly applaud you for respecting that.
For waiting, yeah.
And for waiting until, God forbid, the time comes when she passes before you start, you know, full bore getting into, you know, looking into your genealogy, your actual biological background. Because the fact that your mom doesn't want to know and the fact that you're respecting that, I think speaks very highly of you. Bill in Kansas City before the bottom of the hour. Hello, Bill.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Scott and Dana.
Hi.
Love your guys' show. I listen to it every day after coming home from work. But hey, real quick story. Just because I'm about to get home and I just got to get my kid off the bus and stuff like that. But hey, so my father was adopted. And, you know, probably 5-6 years ago, like right around COVID starting to hit, you know, kind of working from home. And my father signed up for 23andMe. And he wanted to find out who his biological parents were. And he had me kind of do the admin work and stuff like that. And just because, you know, he's older and, you know, computer illiterate. And so I did that. But I also went ahead and did the Ancestry.com because I figured that would kind of help, you know, maybe push, you know,
sure.
Know what I mean? Just try to find the parents and stuff like that. So, well, as I was doing that work, I just noticed, I'm like, gosh, there's real no, you know, like first cousins or connections that I know of coming up. You know, between me and my father. Well, it turns out I had one hit that turned out to be my first cousin, and it didn't make any sense because that person's just not related to me at all that I'm aware of, right? And I found a picture of a person, of this person would be my first cousin, the mother, but then I saw a picture of her brother.
Yeah.
Which would have turned out to be my father. And I saw a picture of him, and he looks exactly like me.
And you knew it as soon as you saw the photo.
As soon as I saw the photo, he's a spitting image of me. And yeah. Even some of the things. So recently, and I'm trying to make this quick. Recently, my father had passed in May of this year. And I knew about it for the past 4 or 5 years. I said nothing to my parents.
You didn't say anything, Bill. Wow.
I did not. No, I kept it to myself. I did some more research to maybe, you know, I continued the research for my father. I actually found his biological mother. And she'd recently passed as well. Because my father was 76. So to kind of get the story going, my father had passed. Well, one night after a couple of libations, I needed to confront my mother. So I did confront my mother. I called her on the phone, and she doesn't live in this state. And I called her up, and I said, hey, I've been doing all this research. A few years back, I found out this information. The only person I had told was my brother.
Yeah.
And so he's obviously my half-brother. So I told her, and she said she was, like, very relieved. And she said, thank God that now that you know this. And she goes, I will tell you what happened. It's not a matter of whether or not I cheated or anything like that. What happened was my father was aggressively, like, pursuing my mother at the time. Well, she was dating my biological father, and he was heavily, he was seduced by her. I don't know. I guess this is the story, and hopefully, you know, I'm pretty sure she's not lying to me, but, because he has told me how he was with mom, and he was like, yeah, because I really wanted her, and, you know, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So my father did know or suspected that I was not his child. He just kept it to himself, and he raised me knowing he didn't care. He told my mother, he goes, I know that you're pregnant. The time frame is really close to when they started getting together and dating.
Yeah.
He said whenever they found out that my dad said, I don't care if it's his or mine, I'm going to raise it like it's mine.
Wow.
So he did that. He was the greatest father you could ever ask for. So I just want to share that story. It's
Bill,
not
what
every
a story.
Not every one of these stories is a bad outcome.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing. I'm still a little bit lost. Right. My biological father died in 1990. So I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with any of his family. I did reach out because I know we come from a very small town in North Central Missouri. I'm not going to name names or anything, but I know the aunt, my aunt. I know who she is.
Oh yeah, Bill, and thank you for the call. We're up against a break here. You would run into these people at the grocery store if you're in a small town.
If you're in a very small town, like if a King City, Missouri.
Yes.
You're probably sitting right next to them at the intersection.
Yes.
913-586-7798.
Don't go dating over there.
You're on Dana and Park. Jeez Louise.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
We got to get our ADD word of the day in, but real quick, because she's been very patient, I want to get Kate in Blue Springs in here, and then we'll do the ADD word of the day. Hello, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
Okay, so I was born in 67. My mother grew up in a very small town, and her family was a very prominent family. She came home from graduate school and was pregnant, and she hid her pregnancy completely from her family. And my grandfather had passed.
Uh-oh.
My grandmother was a nurse. She hid it completely. She drove herself to her doctor an hour away. She ended up having, like, in labor with me, driving that far. And when she had me, she called St. Louis to her aunt to come and pick me up because she had gotten herself sick from not eating and everything to make sure she didn't gain weight. She died 7 years ago from cancer. About 3 months before she died, and she was in the hospital. I asked her again. I'd asked her my whole life off and on, and she would never tell me anything. After she died, I talked to her best friend. She never told any of her best friends. Nobody. She wouldn't tell anybody. And she wouldn't tell me in the hospital room either. But as I was walking out and walking to the parking lot, I got a notification on my phone that I got an email, and she sent me his name. That's it. Nothing else.
Oh, wow.
Huh. And I waited, respect, like the prior caller. I waited in respect and everything until she passed. And then I searched. And unfortunately, the closest I've been able to find is like third and fourth cousins.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Well, Kate, I'll tell you, keep looking, because people that are close to me have had success. It took a while, but eventually found success.
Do you remember a couple of months ago, I was looking up my 23andMe profile? Do you remember what I said to you at one point?
Mm-mm.
It was dotted across the map with people, third cousins, fourth cousins.
Yeah.
And I said to you, there's not a single person on here whose last name is Parks. And that just, I just reminded myself of that.
Huh.
Where, I'm not saying that there's anything hinky going on, but if 23andMe is really that good, are you telling me that nobody in my near immediate family has done any 23andMe?
Or if they have, they are third or fourth cousins twice removed on your mother's side,
right.
Not your dad's.
But I couldn't find a single Parks in there. Hmm. It's time for the ADD word of the day.
Are you in witness protection and you don't know it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Fine. What's the word of the day, Sam?
I've got two options. I've got a six-letter option and a much longer option.
Let's go with the six-letter.
Yeah, let's keep it simple.
Just get us to Friday here.
Smart. Your ADD word of the day, which stands for anti-dum-dum word of the day, because we discovered recently that our English language is dwindling thanks to AI. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Corker.
Corker?
Corker.
Corker.
I thought you said porker.
Corker. C-O-R-K-E-R. Corker.
That's a real corker.
Keep it above board.
No, corker.
I knew you guys were going to take this dirty. I like to pick ones that sound dirty.
Corker.
Just because that's where your mind's going to go.
Okay, help me. Is it a noun?
Corker is indeed a noun.
Could it be anything else?
It could be a verb.
Really?
Okay. All right.
Really?
Okay.
Above board. Dana Wright.
All right, corker.
It is
noun.
Somebody who puts the cork in wine bottles.
No.
I was going to say someone who knocks down the trees in the forest and then makes the trees into the cork that becomes the wine, because I think a cork's a tree, but I'm not sure.
No.
Okay, then I got nothing.
It is an excellent or astonishing person or thing.
That's a real corker.
That's a real corker.
An astonishing thing.
Yes. So it was the season's first goal, and man, it was a corker.
All right, give me the definition again, because if I hear it twice, I'll remember it on Friday.
No, you won't.
An excellent or astonishing person or thing. Corker.
Corker. So I'm a corker.
Get out.
I'm a corker. And you're right, Dana. Cork is made from a layer of bark.
I thought so.
Specifically from the cork oak tree.
Mm-hmm. It is native to Southwest Europe and Northwest Africa. Huh.
And so what were you alluding to with the other definitions?
I thought we were going to keep this above board.
We are. And all I said was I want the shorter word because we already are struggling to remember. Can I make...
I don't even remember what Monday's word was.
I don't either. Can I make a suggestion as we move forward?
Sure.
I like that we are all together expanding our vocabulary. You are keeping a master list in there, correct? But one of the words, and it was a good word, Sam, was the act of throwing someone out a window.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I mean, the fact that there
even... Do you remember that word?
No, but the fact that there even was a word for that, used rarely, I hope, you know, is odd. I think we should focus on words like corker, and I applaud your word today, words that you might actually use in a sentence.
I would remind you that the person who came up with the word or who brought to the table the word of throwing, the act of throwing somebody out of a window was you.
No, it wasn't. It was Sam.
No, it was you.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for passing the blame.
I like corker because I feel like it's the first word that you would really actually use.
No, you had one. It was the first one right out of the gate. It's in a Pink Floyd song.
Frittering?
Frittering.
Frittering.
A word we would actually use.
That was a word that we found in some of the old documents in the basement of our home.
Yes.
And it was on an award, and it said, you could have done all kinds of things with your time. Other people would be frittering away their talents, yet you worked toward this award and got this achievement, so congratulations.
So Pink Floyd used the word fritter in their song Time of Dark Side of the Moon.
Good.
Ticking away the moments that make up a dull day, you fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way.
Okay.
We've really only had two words that wouldn't be usable in a sentence. We had bibble. That's very common.
I forget what that means.
Chewing loudly.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking loudly. Ineffable. Very common.
Which is awesome.
Awesome.
Great.
Yeah. So good it can't be explained with words.
That is ineffable.
To throw somebody out a window was defenestrate. And yes, I don't see a context in which... Well, they defenestrated the man.
I think there are days where that Dana would like to defenestrate Scott.
And the other one that we got that would never be used in a sentence was Scott's submission, and it meant left-handed. Do you remember what the word was?
No.
No.
Wittershins.
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 No, we've got to start focusing on words that...
Which, by the way, was Old German dialect.
Yeah,
that is correct.
That you would use in a... That you actually, our listeners, would use in a sentence.
Okay. And corker is one. Somebody who is something or something that is incredible or exceptional, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, man, that call was a real corker.
Call was a real corker.
You mean, I like to consider myself a man of faith.
That call was a real corker.
And Ruiz hits it out of the ballpark. I don't know if I'll be putting on these headphones for Fox tomorrow.
You know why? He was DeLulu.
He was DeLulu.
Why is that the only word I can remember all week, and that is the stupidest word?
That was not an ADD word of the day.
No, I know it. They added it to the Webster's Dictionary.
Skibbity.
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 Skibbity Riz.
Which has no meaning.
Skibbity Riz. You've got great Skibbity Riz. Overland Park is getting a new flag.
I saw this.
It's actually kind of nice. It's got three different colors on the flag. There's a tree to the left,
And
then two like different colors that are in the shape of a V, a sideways V on the end of the flag. The reason for this, I don't know if you were aware of it.
Looks good.
The existing Overland Park flag is considered one of the worst city flags in the United States.
Oh, I love it. The OP with the tree coming out of it. I loved the old flag.
Featuring the city's name and slogan on a plain white background.
Sometimes simple's better.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that there was a North American Vexillological Association.
What?
Vexillological Association. North American Vexillological Association, the NAVA, and they are the ones who apparently...
They rank flags.
They rank city flags, and they have ranked Overland Park's one of the worst in the country.
There is literally on their website a tab that says good flag, bad flag.
Can you read some of the good ones and some of the bad ones?
It's more like the five principles of your flag. You should keep it simple.
Okay, wait. Yeah, the flag is so bad. It's not the OP with the oak tree.
No.
Okay.
It's literally just the word Overland Park. Overland is green. Park is black. Smaller text, Kansas underneath. And then it says above and beyond by design.
Okay, keep it
so
simple.
So this is the current
that is
flag.
So bad.
That's
it looks
bad.
Like a logo.
That's pretty bad. The five principles are this. If you're designing a flag, keep it simple. Use meaningful symbolism. Use two or three basic colors. Limit it to that. No lettering or seals. And be distinctive or be related.
Well, if it's no lettering or seals, then Kansas and Missouri are both out.
What is that word again? Vexillological Society.
Vexillological Association.
What is a vexillologist?
The study of flags is vexillology.
Okay, but Sam?
We're way late on the break.
Why?
Thank God.
Would that be something somebody does?
We'll talk about it in just a moment. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So we have learned a new word today, corker, and also learned that there are apparently people in this country that are paid to study flags. Vexillologist.
Why not just go with flagologist?
Why not go with brainologist?
Vexillologist.
Vexillologist.
That is correct.
I mean, what is an eye doctor? Is that an ophthalmologist?
Yeah.
By the way, if you look up flagologist, it sends you to vexillologist. I tried.
So we're not the only ones.
I tried.
I like looking at maps, and I like looking at like charts of flags, especially of countries. There's some countries that have some really kick-ass flags.
You know what they say about Switzerland? It's a big plus.
Yeah. And some there are some states that have really cool flags. I think New Mexico's flag is cool. Arizona's flag is cool. California's flag is cool. Texas is cool.
The hatred of the crest, though, is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Seems like a very common thing that you would put on your flag.
Sam, crests are busy.
They are busy.
Look, I love the University of Kansas. I love it so much, but we got the guy down on his knees starting a fire, and there's a bush, and there's a whole bunch of Latin words I can't pronounce, and there's a lot going on that crest.
Here's one thing about state flags that drives me out of my mind, and California, even though I like their flag, is one of the violators of this rule. Why do you have to put the name of your state on your flag? Like Kansas, for example.
Yeah. Well, because if you're driving through and you don't know where you are...
You're a Dana.
Yeah, you look up and you go, oh, look at that. Probably in Kansas.
I've never been driving across the country and thought to myself, what state am I in?
Happens to me all the time.
Usually I have a pretty good idea.
I call that Tuesday.
You might want to turn on the GPS. It'll tell you where you are.
Do you want to hear, I swear to you this happened today. I was leaving Quivira, trying to get home.
Oh, here we go.
Quivira Road or...
Whatever.
Okay.
Trying to get home.
It doesn't matter.
And it still thought I was there and kept trying to get me to turn around. Because in the GPS, I didn't say, all right, now I'm leaving. I'm going home. It kept trying to get me to turn around. And I thought, that doesn't seem right. Well, it didn't seem right because the car didn't know I wanted to go home. The car thought I was still going back. Now, in my defense, I did not.
Did you turn around?
I did not turn around.
And go back to where
like,
you came from.
Why is this trying to get me to turn left? If safe, make a U-turn. I'm like, why am I U-turning?
Can't you turn it off?
How often do you drive between your home and this establishment?
Couple times a week.
By you a need couple, to be- do you mean 5 to 7?
Yes, I thought, honestly, there was construction or something. I was like, what is going on? And then I was like, oh, it's trying to get me to go back.
Do you the roads change in between trips?
Yeah, when you went out there, was there any construction?
No.
Do you think there would be when you're coming back an hour later?
No. I'm telling you.
It's crazy. I was gone for an hour, and they completely started redoing Shawnee Mission Parkway.
On the flag is such a bad thing.
Okay. How would that have helped you get... from two places in the same state.
If possible, make a U-turn.
Oh, my God. Quick break for the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.